Hello everyone, my name is Tatiana Gefter, I use she, they pronouns, and I am playing Alma of the Veil with the Gravedigger playbook.
Hi, my name is Nishit Zaya, I use any pronouns, and I am playing Fletcher the Witch.
My name is Janine Florence Jacinto, I use they, them pronouns, and I play Haku Bayani, Starkeeper.
Hello, my name is Okta, I go by they, them pronouns, and I will play Neil Tristrings from the Weaver's playbook.
Hi, my name is Harper Sage Pettit. I use they or she pronouns, and I will be your guide for this season of Queer PG of Kith and Pen.
The content warning for this episode includes complex and complicated relationships and discussions of financial struggles.
Dear Mom and Dad, first, sorry for such a quick exit. I thought it would have another day, but, you know, when the serve all calls, you gotta go. Well, that and when your closest and oldest friend's balloon is about to be taken by the bank, a quick exit is a little necessary. Well, not as quick as our exit from Neo's. I will say, it was a little strange. Leaving their place, they threw things out of their apartment as we left. Not gonna question it, but, go them? Alma's a little shaken up from her interaction with a dock worker named Muskrat. I think that's the one who tried to take the ship. So, not liking them, but big props to Tuft. Let's see. First couple hours on the ship has been interesting. While carrying a dream buried new on my back, I found Fletcher asleep in the bathtub covered in papers. Will not lie, might have peeked at the papers. The name Lauren was written on them. Note to self, will explore. Right now, I am hanging out in this little balcony that Alma has off of her ship, the Flying Dutch Kith, with Fletcher, that still has a piece of paper stuck to his face, and a new, who keeps asking lots of questions. Was cute when they said that they saw two of me. Probably thought I looked like Cousin Duke. Well, other than that, pretty uneventful. I think Alma is still flying the ship, but I do hear a muffled voice around the corner, so new friend aboard? Anyways, love you, Mom and Dad. I'll keep writing. From the stars that wave to you, Haku.
So, we pick up with the Flying Dutch Kiss that you're going to Portsmore. You're heading up the coast north, and you kind of again you see the Lastings, these islands that are like kind of close to the land off to the east, and you've kind of like come over to that land and you're following up the coast. So you see these like gorgeous beaches with the waves kind of crashing over them. That's all to your west, and then your right hand side or your east as you're like going up, you see like these like massive redwoods just kind of like sprouting up. Like, you don't know how long they've been there. They're definitely older than you, for sure. Definitely older than your parents or your grandparents, but just these massive redwoods as you're just like traveling along in this airship up to Portsmouth. And you left at night. I would imagine that especially Fletcher and Okta, who were a little distressed, maybe a little inebriated or affected by different substances, probably just like clocked out. But I guess I want to check in on Alma or Haku. So you two are like the two like sober people. I guess Alma saw Chandler come into the ship, but Haku doesn't know yet. But I guess does Alma want to check in to see what she's doing as the sun sets, the full moon comes up, the stars come out? So Alma, you're kind of steering the ship up the coast. You get it into like the magical autopilot. What do you do as you have your friends finally on board? But there's also an enemy on board.
There's definitely a hostile force on board, and Alma is not happy about it. This is her space. It's her ship. There's an imposter who she did not want on the ship at all, then tried to take her room. Just no regard for anyone else at all. The most selfish person she could imagine is on her ship now. But she dealt with it, you know? She did what she had to do to get who knows where Chandler is right now. As soon as he was out of her line of sight, she, like, didn't want to think about him anymore. She certainly doesn't want to engage with that any further. But, you know, she puts the ship in autopilot, and it's the first time she's really had a chance to breathe since going to her parents' house, finding out about everything, having to take the ship back from the dock workers and the bank, and getting all of her friends. So now she's not, like, relieved, but she, you know, she has a moment to consider the facts. One of those facts being that she did not talk to Karth before she left. Unfortunate.
This isn't the only time she's not spoken to Karth. I imagine she's got a special notebook or special means of putting those thoughts down.
What she likes to do is she'll take, like, scrap pieces of paper and write kind of little notes to him and throw them off the ship. So, just into the wind.
So what's that first note that she writes as she kind of engages the autopilot, steps away from the helm? The thought of Chandler the rat / armadillo crosses her mind, and then, like, oh, Karth goes across her mind.
Yeah, I guess she's a little mad. She's a little pissed. So, you know, she starts writing this letter, and it's something along the lines of, okay, so I didn't get the chance to talk to you, but that's not my fault, okay? I'm not the one who stopped talking between the two of us. You don't get to just summon me whenever you need me for something. Like, I'm so mad because I wish I had talked to you, if only to get your explanation, not to help you with whatever you need, but I probably would have still helped you because scratch, 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 scribble, 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 whatever.
I guess in my mind, I think as you write these things and throw them out, you kind of, like, have that. I mean, we all do it where we have that, like, conversation with somebody else, but maybe because your connection to the other world, you actually have almost a little more of a conversation. And as you toss it out, you hear this voice.
Well, I stopped talking because I thought you didn't like me anymore.
La 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 la. Nope. No, we're not doing this right now. I'm not doing this.
And, like, I know, like, it was probably a lot. Like, maybe even crossing a bit of a line for me to, like, reach out to your family, but, like, they live close, and I don't know, your dad seemed so sad, and I was like, I wanted to help him, you know?
That's the point. That's not the point. I'm not mad about it.
The point is, I care about you, Alma. Like, even though we've, like, had these things, this shit that keeps coming up, my shit, your shit, our shit, like, it happens.
You have a funny way of showing it. Frankly, you cut me off. I never did anything to insinuate that I didn't like you or care about you. You stopped talking to me.
I'm sorry.
I'm not responsible for your insecurity in our relationship.
You hear in your head, kind of like you've heard before, this similar silence, almost as if the imaginary and possibly real Karth is kind of crossing his arms and turning away from you. And then, after a few moments, you hear,
I'm sorry, I'm just going through a lot right now. And as much as I'm going through, I hope you just know that I've never stopped caring about you. But life's hard, and sometimes I'm just so lost, and you're so far away, and I'm just tired. So goddamn tired.
Then maybe you should stop wasting your energy on me.
And when you say that, you feel another rumbling in your pocket. You know that this is the token that Karth gave you long ago. Back when Karth was known as Kari. And you've held this token for so long. Back when you were in middle school and she would send you these, like, messages, and then things changed, and then Karth was sending you these messages, and now Karth is sending you this message. You feel this token in your pocket. What do you do?
I pull it out of my pocket and I look at it.
And it says, me and your dad made this really cool train.
I wish you would have said hi or whatever. Good luck.
I'm almost looking at this coin in her hand. And she's like, she closes her fist around it. And she's like, she kind of like starts as if she's going to throw it. And then hesitates. And instead, she's going to make her way towards the kitchen to a familiar box that's in the kitchen.
So as you walk that way, we'll jump over to Haku. So you've made tea and cookies for Fletcher and Nao. And the three of you kind of like stared up at the stars on this sort of like out deck of this ship. And eventually Fletcher and Nao just like passed out. Just like all the stuff that they went through that day. You were so caring and affectionate towards them and their needs. But you have this moment of silence as the two of them kind of just like slump over as you kind of try to figure out what's next for you. So Haku, in this moment of silence, so the stars are kind of like glistening above as you move closer into the outlands and up the coast. What are you doing?
I think Haku is just, like, listening to the breaths of, like, their two friends, because this is probably the first time in, like, a very long time. There was a time when they would have very late study sessions together, and, like, thinks back to those nights in the younger years, and then starts, like, drawing the stars. Because, again, it's still so very... We're in the sky! We're so close, yet so far to them! And starts looking at the different constellations that he can find throughout them and see if there's anything different from what he's seen before.
Go ahead and give me a wild check.
It is a 10.
So you look up in the skies. What is one of the constellations that Haku really resonates with? His like grounding force when things are just like kind of going awry.
Carta Minor, which is the road less traveled, whose winding ways revealed lost things.
And I would say you look up at that constellation, the sort of like image in the sky of a road or path that Haku has found so much like strength and comfort in over the years. And being like kind of like straight and very predictable, like you look up at the sky and the stars are kind of like going in this way for some reason. You've never seen that before. Like, can you really see this road, this path that you've depended on? And it just seems like the more you stare, the more ambiguous this very distinct road becomes.
Cool. This is fine. Everything's cool. Everything's fine. Stars are there. The stars are still there. They are there. Different locations, different part of the... It's okay. And then still charts it. Attempts to chart it.
Yes. And so Haku charts it. And I guess maybe thinks of a time like back when he was studying the charts before, going back through history. The only other time that this has happened before was with a different constellation, the Heart. This is a constellation that has been kind of at the center of all the others. And these slight fluctuations, these hearts, as Haku likes to call them. There was a time like 100 years ago when the Heart just like disappeared for like 2 weeks and nobody knew what was going on or whatnot, but apparently it had things to do with time travel.
Huh. Cute.
It looked like a legitimate like heart in the sky.
Time travel. Okay, cool.
And so as Haku's writing that down, that's what Alma comes down. So Haku, you hear kind of like a fumbling in the kitchen as you're like scrambling to write this down real quick, these notes, as Fletcher and Nao are kind of like passed out on the table close by.
Hello.
Hey there.
Yeah,
thought so. You're still up?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the best time to like you know, see stars. Lots of excitement as well. Stars change outside. Yes, that's normal. Different. How far are we from home again?
Well, we've been flying for a few hours now, so...
Do they change super drastically when we're, like, hours away from...
Define super drastically.
Well, so, Carta Minor is usually just, like, a, like, very vertical, and it's not vertical. It's very, like a wavy?
Wavy?
Very, curving.
Because, you know, yeah.
I mean, usually they just kind of change angle because you're seeing it from a different point on the surface of land. Wiggly?
Wiggly, yeah, yeah.
Okay, sure, yeah, sure. No, that's not normal. But if anyone can figure it out, I'm sure it's you and the other one.
Excuse me? Oh, is there... are one of your friends on board?
No, no. Not one of... Not a friend.
Uh-huh.
At all.
What? So...
You know him.
Someone that's not a friend of yours that I know? I don't think... I don't really associate with...
Think. Carefully.
And so I would imagine with this discomfort that's being kind of like voiced, either even though Neo and Fletcher, you've kind of like drifted to sleep, but it's just kind of those like barely asleep, like a distressed sleep, and you hear more distress in the real world. So you're pulled from the dream world into this conversation where Alma and Haku are talking about this individual that Alma seems pretty troubled about.
So I really hope it's... I
look into my eyes.
I really don't want to.
I know.
Oh my god, look at the stars!
That doesn't work on me anymore.
Uh-huh, yeah, I know. This is how what calms me a little bit, but this is not calming me now. So, what if we just park real quick and just leave then?
You know, I was thinking about it, but I think Fallon would be a little peeved.
But what if we like tie a bow and say, oopsies!
Their orders were to have him on the ship, so...
Oh, was that Fletcher? Shh, 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 shh.
Hey.
Earmuffs.
Hey, buddy!
Hi, hello, hi.
I just had a really weird dream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I dreamt that we were landing at our next location and Chandler was with us. That'd be really weird, right? Because he's back on the lasting, so...
And then with that, you hear, like, a crash in the kitchen and, like, lots of different, like, spice tins and stuff falling to the ground. And then you hear, gods, I swear.
Everyone, you remember Chandler from school?
Yes, unfortunately, I remember these folks.
Chandler is our new cabin boy, courtesy of Fallon. Fallon thinks... he would be a great fit for our team.
And at this point, Neo kind of like perks up. So Fallon thinks they are also the best kid for the job?
And then you hear another crash.
Yes, I just turned down a prestigious fellowship.
Why?
I'm the best person for this. Also, do you have any beetle nuggets anywhere here?
No, I don't have any beetle nuggets anywhere here.
I'm on a non-bug diet, so that's kind of gross.
Oh, okay.
And I would, in the future, appreciate it if you stayed out of my kitchen.
Well, how am I supposed to get my beetle nuggets then?
No beetle nuggets. There are no beetle nuggets.
What am I supposed to eat?
You know what? When we make port, I'll let you know. There's fruit.
Does fruit have protein in it?
Find out.
All right. Well, I'll be off.
As Chandler, kicks his way through, like, the spice containers that he knocked all over the ground, grabs a purplish-pink fruit from the dish, and takes a hard crunch out of it and says,
I think I'm supposed to peel this, and walks away.
The entire time you just hear a low growl come out of Haku. Just a low growl. Only Alma will hear it because she's right next to him.
Haku, give me a heart roll.
8.
You can't help but notice that, and you've never seen it before, but Chandler's got a little wiggle to his butt that you've not seen before. You're able to contain yourself and own it. Like, Kith have bodies, bodies are attractive, like, whatever. That guy's a jerk. I hate him.
Yeah. You guys should have seen him earlier. It was... I think I made him a little scared. Good. But, also...
When did he he actually get on the boat? I don't remember.
Yeah, so you were kind of out of commission, you know, and I'm not one to judge. The berry is good. But, so you were out. Fletcher was passed out in the bathtub. Haku was taking care of both of you. And so when I was talking to Fallon and getting all the supplies, that happened.
Wait, how far away are we? I need to tell people about some stuff. I've not told anyone I'm leaving.
I'm sorry, Nu. We're hours away. We had to go. Yeah, you didn't. How much do you remember?
I think some stuff happened. I think I'm single.
Great!
Oh. I'm not entirely sure.
You did throw someone's stuff out of your house.
Oh no. Oh no, 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 no.
You seemed very sure about it at the time.
Did something happen with Alphonse?
I think he's going to be very angry at me. Can we just stop it for a moment? Still very fuzzy.
Yeah, so the reason why we had to leave in a rush is because my parents are broke and they were the bank was going to repossess the ship. And so I had to run to the dock, get the ship before it was taken, and run. And so I wasn't going to leave you all behind, so I had to make the executive decision to move our timeline up.
Your family was in very good standing.
Yeah, my, you know, magic, weird, gods gone. You know how it is. Without magic, no money.
So, if we fix it, are we gonna be better?
I hope so. I don't know. I don't... Probably is the what I'm going with. Probably.
I wonder if my moms are okay. I mean, they're both really big witches, so I think their magic should be fine, but I don't know. They've lived off the lastings before, so I don't know if their magic is tied to the lastings. I should probably write to them.
Yeah, there's like a little... When we get to port, there's usually a mailbox there, so... None of you have been outside the lastings, have you? Except for you, Fletcher, because you went to the academy. But did you leave the academy?
No, and the academy's really just on the border between the lastings and the outlings, so I don't really know what it's like out there.
Okay, and you two definitely haven't.
The stars are different here.
Yeah, so the stars are different here. Usually it's only because we're at a different angle, not because they're wiggly.
They're moving.
Yeah, that's not normal.
Okay, cool. Okay. And just see scratching on paper.
Usually the stars don't move. We're going to... And if you take a look out your window on your left, you'll see the ocean. We are on the coast. We're going to a port. And they're super cool. They're great. They're super nice. It can just be a little overwhelming your first time out of home. You know, it's different. You're not floating. You're on solid ground.
Well, we are floating right now.
Right now. We will not be when we get there. Yeah, here, this is... You guys have been on the ship before. You know. This is the ship. This is great. You're all familiar with the ship. Other places are different from the lastings. A little bit. A little different. Most importantly, do any of you know how to swim?
No.
Yeah, makes sense.
I don't like water too much.
Oh, you're gonna have a great time where we're going. Haku, you know how to swim?
Yes. Ooh, my kind does, but does Haku?
I guess as Haku ponders that, Oma, you know that, like, Portsmore is an extremely rainy place. Like, it rains almost every day out of the year. And most of those days, it is like torrential downpour. Like, the rivers flood, the sky is literally coming down in sheets. There's gonna be a lot of water where you're heading to.
Did you guys bring your raincoats?
I have a waterproof cloak.
Good. How waterproof is it?
It should be okay.
How rainy is it at the lastings? How different is this gonna be for them?
It's pretty different. Like, the lastings, I would say, like, if you're comparing it to, like, places in the real world, like, this place gets, like, four seasons, whereas Portsmore, like, it's, like, raining year-round.
So it's very, very... I cannot begin to overstate how rainy it is at Portsmore. You're gonna get wet. I'm sorry. There's just no way around it. You're gonna get wet. So don't bring anything that could get damaged in water while we're out on the town. People kind of have gotten used to it. I mean, when we get into town proper, they've made a bunch of like coverings and stuff, so you'll be fine. But on the dock and stuff, we're gonna get real wet. And the water is like not safe. It's very tumultuous. If you don't know how to swim, don't go in there. It is strong currents. Even the most, you know, skilled of swimmers will have a hard time.
Wait, does that mean it's really windy there?
Yeah.
That might be a problem for the, you know.
And he like shows his little flaps that are, well, his body.
I'm hoping as long as we keep you under your cloak, you'll be okay. And, you know, if you don't do that.
Okay, but I kind of have to sometimes to reach for things.
Yeah, sure. And when we're, you know, inside and stuff, it'll be fine. But, you know, if we're outside, maybe just hands to chest.
Okay.
Just kind of point your nose somewhere and I can grab it for you.
Okay.
So before we get there and it gets really super rainy, is there any chance? Are you carrying any postal moths that we can send back?
I think Fallon put some in the cargo hold. I can show you where that is if you'd like.
I kinda need to tell Rani at least. She's gonna freak out.
Yeah, sure. Come on, it's this way. And I'm gonna lead No to the cargo hold. The stairs are in like the offshoot of the kitchen. You guys know how like sometimes you guys have an offshoot to the garage from the kitchen. It's an offshoot to the cargo hold.
So you're heading down. Haku, it's pretty late, so I imagine you're feeling pretty tired now that like you've done your duty of taking care of people and they are kind of like finding their way to various areas. So maybe you find your way back to a room. Fletcher, you're starting to feel like yourself for a moment. You have these papers kind of like tucked away into your satchel, and you also have this slight etching of avian footprint, and you have this moment of kind of alone time. What are you doing?
I think with a little bit of privacy, Fletcher would investigate this etching, because it's the biggest clue to all of the wildness that happened right as you're leaving. So probably bringing out this little etching and like really looking at it closely.
Give me an instinct roll.
I can do math. 9.
This is most definitely not Lauren's footprint.
Oh. Okay. Wow.
It's a little bit larger than Lauren's. And you know that Lauren, like, one of his talons, like, broke off when he was younger. That was, like, the leftmost, like, talon on his left or right foot. That talon is there. So this is most definitely not Lauren's.
Interesting. Oh, man. I'd probably investigate some of the darker letters that Lauren had for Fletcher. Just try and figure out, like, what is this thing that Lauren went off to do? And, like, gathering any hints and clues from that.
Go ahead and give me another instinct roll.
12.
Your brain is a little foggy currently. You're operating on not a ton of sleep. And you had a very emotional day, but you can tell that there seems to be some sort of pattern or secret message in these letters that Lauren wrote to you. You're not in a state of being able to figure it out currently, but just something seems wrong, and you start to see repetition of certain words, certain letters. Certain letters are like turned backwards. Like, it's just like something is up with these letters. And whatever Lauren was doing was not writing a manifesto. He was trying to let you know something.
With that information, I have the scrap of paper with Puck's name on it, the Dreamweaver. I think I would like to burn that and send Puck a little message.
Alright, what's the message you send to Puck?
Hey Puck, it's Fletcher. Have you heard any response of sorts, I guess, from that dream I sent? Were you able to send it? Let me know. This is Fletcher, by the way. You sent a dream for me earlier. Thanks! Let me know.
So, again, it's not instantaneous. You sent that message out in hopes that maybe Puck gets it and sends you another one in response, but it's, nonetheless, it's a waiting game for you, right?
Fletcher's gonna go make some tea.
So, as Fletcher makes some tea, Alma and Nao, you went down to the storage hold.
The cargo hold to look at the moths that Fallon gave to us to send letters.
I would imagine that the cargo hold is kind of like a standard one, but there towards the front of the ship, there are like several stalls where you like walk past all these crates, begin to like start hearing like a flapping and a fluttering as like light flickers into these stalls, and you grab the lantern and bring it close to you and continue on, and you see kind of like in these like six stalls, like three on the left side, three on the right side, these massive like pink and purple and yellow winged moths. They are almost as big as you, and they just like flutter as the light comes even closer to them.
Right, so here are the moths.
You looked a bit on edge up there with the rest of us.
What? No, on edge.
And you have so many reasons to be.
It's just a lot going on. I haven't been home in 5 years, and there's so much happening. It's fine. You don't need to worry about me.
And Alma, you kind of think for a moment, like, in this instance, when, like, the light is flickering, the moths are flapping around, and Nao is kind of, like, calling attention to you and your current state, that your parents said that, like, all their financial problems were because your mom lost her clairvoyancy. But you know that's only been like a couple weeks. Like, how could they get so much in debt in just a few weeks? And it just hits you. You gotta write your parents a letter.
I'm glad that we can help and that we're gonna save the lastings and all that stuff, but I think just once, I wish that I wasn't responsible for something.
I mean, that's kind of on Fallon. I'm still a bit upset that he's kind of throwing this on us, and I still don't really think he really knows. So maybe we just go to this new place, rainy wet place, and we get something real nice for your family. And then we just go back, sort them out, and call it quits. Someone better will come.
Maybe. But then if no one does, it's on us. And we are the ones who let the lastings fall from the sky. And that's definitely not something I want to be responsible for. So I'll keep going, but maybe you should take a vacation. You know, break up with the partner. It can be a bit intense. I know that.
I mean, now that you say all of those things, it doesn't look like a man. It doesn't sound like that's what I thought it was.
What did you think it was?
Things were getting shaky?
Yeah. It's true. Things were a bit shaky. You know, I think I'd feel a lot better if that person wasn't on my ship.
I jumped with him once through a window. I can try and do it again.
Well, we got in trouble that time, and I feel like we'll get in trouble this time too. If we... I mean, we could always say that he went on sabbatical.
Yeah.
I mean, if we just didn't tell him when we were leaving port.
That's a great idea.
We'll keep this plan in our back pocket, I think. Are you okay, by the way?
I feel like I was really hungry, and I'm not very used to feeling that, and some things are beginning to come back. I think Al was kissing someone in front of me, but it's not super clear. It might have been me. It looked like a fox.
Like a big fox or a you fox?
Like bigger than me, but at the same time, I don't think it was me, Alma. I really don't think it was me.
Well...
And then I got really angry, and I started yelling at him.
Okay.
And then I left and threw all of his stuff out of the house. Did that happen, right?
Yeah, that part definitely happened. I was there for that part.
And then I remember, it was really warm and a little bit fluffy, and I think that was Haku. I think that was Haku.
Yeah, Haku gave you a piggyback ride because you were kind of, you know. Look, just don't let it eat you. No, whatever happened, happened. Right? We are so far away from that now. And from what it sounds like, you are probably better for whatever happened. Sounds like you lost however much Alphon's ways.
He's heavy.
You lost that much, and I think it's for your benefit, honestly. I never really liked that guy. No offense. I try not to be judgmental of other people's relationships. I'm in no position to judge.
That's why I didn't write too much, because people always got a bit.
No, you know, when enough people say something, maybe. But hey, it looks like you took matters into your own hands, and I am super proud of you.
I think the Dreamberries took matters into their own hands.
What's that saying? It's, being inebriated, just, what is it? Dreamberry actions are just sober thoughts?
That maybe checks out. I just felt very, very true to my emotions at that point, in that moment.
Well, sometimes you just need to let it out.
Yeah?
Don't look at me like that.
Uh-huh.
Listen, do as I say, not as I do, okay? I'm the captain.
Captain.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
But just make sure you do have moments where you don't have to take care of stuff.
As soon as those moments come up, you'll be the first to know. For now, I need to make sure that we all get to Portsmouth alive. So I'm going to go back up and check on the navigation. Do you need help with the mods, or do you got that?
No, I'll sit around here for a bit. I think I need to sit and think now that my mind is beginning to clear a bit.
Okay. When you do eventually go to bed, just double check the room you're going into.
What's my bed?
You can pick whatever one you want, of the ones available. I'm just saying, maybe peek inside first.
Where did we put my stuff?
So your stuff's still kind of just in the living room, because you, Haku, helped put your stuff on the deck, and since it's gonna be raining a lot, we took everything down before we really started heading out, so... It's all, you know, safe and dry, just chilling in the living room right now. So it's not in a room, probably for the best, because if it were in a room, Chandler probably would have found an excuse to rifle through your stuff. So, yeah, just double check the room that you're going into, because you never know what might be sleeping in that bed.
I just smell, and if it smells like rotten eggs, I will keep out of that room.
Great. Great. Fantastic.
If it smells like snails, I may go in anyway.
Oh, I really wish Fletcher would take a bath. That was why I told them to go to the bath. But they took a nap instead. They seemed really emotional about something. They seemed super emotional about something. Maybe you can... I don't know. If you do end up rooming with Fletcher, maybe you can find out what that was all about. You were kind of out when I... Well, you were the last one I picked up, but when I picked up Fletcher... No, Haku was the last person. Who was the last person I picked up? It was you. You were the last person I picked up. But Fletcher, got on board and was so upset about something. Just, absolutely distressed. I have not seen him like that in ages. So it's like when he got super, super anxious about that one exam when we were all in our like fourth year.
Yeah.
It was like that, but like worse. So if you do end up rooming with Fletcher, maybe you can figure out what went down.
I mean, he did need a really high grade on herbalism to get into the academy, so it made sense.
It made sense, but at the time.
Well, I'm captain. I'll go check up on Fletcher.
Awesome. And make sure to get some rest. Lots of rest. Everybody's gonna need so much rest. Alright, I'm gonna go. Good luck with your letter writing.
So there were four rooms.
So there's four rooms. There's the captain's quarters and three additional rooms.
So Haku and Fletcher, you would have found your way to rooms.
I would have instinctively just followed Fletcher just to check, just to make sure. I guess this is my room now. I think that's probably what would have happened.
Fletcher, do you typically, like, sleep in a bed, or, like, what do you do for sleeping?
Fletcher's body clock is nocturnal, but adjusts to, like, daytime activities just because that's what was required on, like, the Lastings being a majority non-nocturnal population. So Fletcher kind of has one of those, like, weird in-between sleep schedules where, like, he kind of wakes up before everyone else, before the sun is even up, and tends to like going to bed like early evening. Kind of like a grandma. Fletcher has like the sleep schedule of a grandma.
You've been up way past your bedtime the past couple of days, and so you just find a place to rest in. So I imagine it's kind of like a pile of blankets in the corner of one of these rooms that you just like collapse into, and then you hear like a plop next to you as Haku like plops down, and you all just kind of like have this moment before you both like drift off to sleep. And I guess Fletcher probably falls asleep first, but then Haku, you know that like you're going on this big thing, but it's about to be a big day for Fletcher tomorrow. And you brought something along with you to help celebrate Fletcher's big day. Before you drift off to sleep, what's Haku doing to this gift that he has?
In like one of the pockets of their apron, as they're taking it off to go to bed, they just feel for like a little box that shuffles a little bit. And inside there are 12 cards, each of a little sketch of one of the gods from our home in the Lastings, used just like the way that Haku interprets them, and is just like, okay, it's still there, and like shuffles it and makes sure that it's okay, and like folds up their apron and uses it as like hugs it like a little stuffy animal, because that's where all of their papers and everything is, but that's something that they need to keep like very safe.
Love it. So Haku kind of snuggles this apron and box close to his heart as he kind of like looks one last time at Fletcher, just kind of like passed out as he falls asleep. And then Neo, you went down to the moths for a reason. Why did you go down to the moths?
Neo went to the moths because they feel very, very guilty about not saying anything to anyone. And it's not the first time that Neo disappears from somewhere they're supposed to be. And it is not the first time Neo leaves Rania behind and doesn't want to repeat mistakes of the past. So they will sit down next to one of the yellow moths, take out a little quill, a little piece of paper, and start writing kind of like halfway between an apology letter and a diary entry for Rania, just giving her the headlines of the last 12 hours since he was walking with Rania towards Fallon's place.
So Neo writes that recap, sort of looks amongst the moths, and one of them, like, actually, instead of, like, shying away towards you, from you, like, flutters over towards you, and you're able to kind of stroke the moth on their head, their little antennae, and tuck this letter into its, like, little neck collar, and you whisper where it needs to go, and open the window, and it flies out with this letter back towards the lastings. And in this moment, you see this kind of message, this kind of symbol of maybe hope, maybe reconciliation, kind of flying back towards where you're coming from. And you also, you think of your friend Fletcher, your dear friend Fletcher. You have maybe your pack close by, and you remember that Fletcher's special day is tomorrow, and you check in on your gift.
Neo scurries away nervously, almost like running up the stairs from the cargo hall and into the living room where Alma said that all of their stuff is, and we're just very, like, almost panicky, ruffling through everything, just wishing with all their heart that the gift they had prepared is within the stuff that they packed. Is it?
It's still there. You thought for a second it wasn't, but you know how, like, packs are, and you have lots of different things in them, and things shift around, and you're, like, looking and looking and looking, and you can't find it, but then, like, you take everything out and place it out on the couch, and you're afraid that maybe Fletcher might come in, but you basically dump it all out, and then you see it there, kind of, like, spill out amongst everything else.
Oh, no, it's not in this box. It can't be in this box. And I eventually find it, and just kind of, like, extend my hands, take it up, and it's it's a really soft material with a bit of a shimmer. And I just, for a second, just make sure that everything is well within it. Make sure to, without fully unfurling whatever this is, I fold it slowly and make sure to pack it away somewhere within.
Now that you know a hostile entity is on the ship, you need to keep that close to you just in case. So we jump over to Alma real quick as Neo gathers up their things and maybe for tonight just kind of, like, curls up on the corner of the couch with their pack as a pillow. But Alma, you went upstairs to kind of check in on the navigation, but you know the navigation's fine. What are you up to?
On my way up, I had to stop in the kitchen and drop off a coin in a little box in the kitchen, which is supposed to be used for cookies, but is instead being used to hold letter writing materials. Thank God Fletcher didn't look in that box. That would have spoiled the whole surprise of the gift. It seems that this is the place where Alma keeps important things.
Yeah, so you have your letter writing material, your gift to Fletcher, but then also you're dropping your coin from Karth off in there as well?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Alma is, you know, she takes another look at the coin, and it's like, she doesn't want to put it in the box, but that's why she has to put it in the box. Because she can't just keep having this string attached to her, attached to him, not with the way things are now. Maybe when they talk again, if they talk again in person, she'll add the coin back into her pocket. But for now, she has more important things to focus on, and Karth is a distraction. Him and his trains, and my dad, and what the fuck is up with my parents? Like, are they that financially irresponsible? Like, Alma is frustrated with her family, with Karth, with the world for falling apart around her, and all she wants to do is sail her ship around the world and help people. That's all she wants to do, but instead she's being put into this role that she never really wanted. So she takes Fletcher's gift out of the box and puts it into one of the big pockets in her overcoat and heads back up to the bridge to just be there and not be elsewhere.
So you're up at the helm, and you know the ship is good to get you to Portsmar. Do you still, like, stand at the helm, or do you kind of go into your captain's quarters and curl up and fall asleep?
I think eventually she would curl up and go to sleep. She would lock the door behind her. Yeah, she's kind of got this, like, beanbaggy-looking bed. It's, like, more luxurious than that, but it's, you know, made for comfort so that you can really curl on it and get into a little ball and you'll be comfy. But she does not have a restful sleep, I would say.
Why is she not having a restful sleep?
Well, you know, sometimes you just can't turn your brain off.
You know that you've got, like, the mission ahead of you, and there's also a hostile entity on your ship.
The vibes are rancid.
Docking in Portsmore can be a major headache sometimes.
The rain.
Yes. And you have to throw Fletcher a birthday party before you get there, because once you get there, it's going to be crazy. But eventually, you do get some sleep, and I guess to the three of you, Nayu, Alma, and Haku, the three of you know that Fletcher's birthday is the next day. You know he's had a really hard time the past couple days, just from the few moments you've actually had to chat. How are y'all splitting up this kind of responsibility to make sure Fletcher's birthday is what it needs to be?
Hey, I think Haku's team distraction.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just block the door until they hear the secret knock.
Alma is probably team cake. Alma makes the cake.
Now, take out a sketch notebook and design a kind of makeover for the living room, for the mess hall, and try and think of possible ways to decorate the space and make it feel as homely as possible. Or Fletcher.
And so I guess, Haku, you're probably up before Fletcher, because Fletcher, again, is catching up on hours of sleep, and the trauma has made it to where he's super sleepy. But Fletcher, you wake up, and first thing first, you've got to use the bathroom. Always.
Like, one of those, like, awake but eyes aren't open people. First thing in the morning. And so he's, like, basically, like, sleepwalking to the bathroom and immediately, like, hops into a bath and kind of sleepily washing his face and getting ready for the morning as normal. Hasn't seen a thing yet.
Haku stands at the bathroom door.
And then once Fletcher's done with this little, like, morning bath and, like, has freshened up a bit, he comes out of the bathroom to walk back to the room.
Haku closes the door.
Haku?
Ooh, this is not Haku.
I know it's you. I saw you when I opened the door.
Ooh, it's the wind. Ooh.
Haku, do you need to use the bathroom?
Ooh, it's Haku.
You're Haku. Hello?
I look down the hall to see if I see any party decorations. From where I'm standing.
Nayu, give me a swift check.
So that is a 7 plus a 2. That is a 9.
You look down the hall towards the kitchen, and you see Nayu just kind of, like, jump across the hallway with, like, streamer and, like, attach it to the ceiling and, like, land and give you, like, a nod. And then Alma, like, peeks her head from around the corner.
I knock on the bathroom.
You can come in now.
Oh, I was just making sure that you were good. You were in there for longer than expected in the bathroom.
Yeah, I was leaving the bathroom when you closed the door.
What? What? Someone closed... What? Door? Wow, look it! Hallway!
Huh? He turns to the hallway.
I love how Haku's just, like, the most awkward boy ever.
Haku leads down the hallway, but also make sure that, like, Fletcher can't see anything, like, tries to block what's happening.
Apron out.
Yeah, Apron is just the little, you know how, like, when you curtsy, like, the dress is just, like, out in a curtsy situation, but just out. Like, fanned completely out.
And then while we're just walking down the hallway, Fletcher's just like, why are you up so early? Usually I'm the first one awake.
Oh, you know, the early otter gets the clam.
And as you say that, Haku, that's when the two of you end up in the kitchen area. Fletcher, you like kind of realize you're underneath like a little streamer. Like, that's weird.
Wait, what's going on here?
And then you hear Alma and Nayu, and I guess Haku join in.
Surprise!
Surprise!
Oh my god! Wait, surprise for what?
Happy birthday!
Oh my god, it's my birthday!
It is, Fletcher.
We know. Do you know?
We were just going so... Like, we left so quickly, I forgot it was my birthday.
Surprise!
Aw, thank you guys so much!
I made cake for you.
I love cake.
What's Fletcher's favorite cake, though?
Fletcher's favorite cake is, like a berry and nut mix cake. And it's, like two different, like, layers of, like, flavors.
And that's exactly what Alma brings over with the little, like, sparklers going.
My favorite!
Well, yeah, I remember from, I've missed a couple birthdays, but I wanted to help make this one special. Happy birthday!
Thank you.
Wait, are the sparklers like a candle situation, or are they just going...
Yeah, it's like a candle kind of situation, but like maybe in between like a candle and a firework, like.
So Fletcher takes like a very like thoughtful little moment to like make the birthday wish, and then he like blows at the sparklers.
Yeah. Remember, don't tell us what you wished for.
Never. Oh, this is so sweet, you guys. How long did this all take you?
About half of the night.
Oh my god. You stayed up all night for me? I could have helped, or I guess then it would be a surprise.
Yeah, I wasn't getting much sleep anyway, so cake! Didn't take too long.
It smelled so good. I'm getting so hungry.
Well, dig in, guys, and then we can do gifts.
Yeah!
Gifts?
And then he's like ready to eat cake.
Do some slices here. Alright, birthday boy gets the first slice, of course. Here you go, Haku. Here you go, Neu. And then me.
Cake for breakfast.
You're so clean as well, Fletcher. You smell nice.
Yeah, I took a bath this morning.
As y'all eat the cake, I imagine one by one you hand the gifts over to Fletcher. Who goes first?
You choose, Fletcher.
Well, we're on Alma's ship, so you can give me a gift first.
Yeah, sure. Alma reaches into her big overcoat, and she pulls out kind of a flask-looking thing, and she hands it to you, and she's like, okay, so I remember back in the day, to no fault of your own, you are a little clumsy when it comes to writing with the ink and the quill. So when I was traveling, I found this liquid. Pretty much if you make a mistake with your ink, you can put this on your ink and then let it dry, and then you can just scrape it off. And it doesn't damage the paper, and you can just go right over your mistake.
Oh, this is perfect! Oh, now you'll be able to read my letters better too.
Yeah, there were just so many ink splotches on the last one that I got a little concerned.
Yeah, it's hard to write sometimes, especially if I write while gliding, which isn't the best idea, but you know.
Well, I hope this helps.
Thank you so much.
He tucks it into his little satchel.
Who's next, Fletcher?
Haku?
Me? Oh, okay, no. Box. And hands a little box to you.
Let's just see. He opens it up and he's like, oh my goodness.
And they're all like, they're the constellations of every god from the Lastings is what you see. It's like a little, it's very small deck of every god. So yeah, I drew it, kind of worked really hard on getting the sketches right. I know that you have lots of cards, so I thought you'd like more of something of home.
Oh, Haku, this is perfect. I mean, this might help us find them.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm really excited to do a reading with this one later. Thank you so much.
I guess if y'all remember, like, oracle cards are kind of like tarot cards in this world. And they can be very different and very personalized based on everyone's experience. So Haku passing these along from something he likes so much to Fletcher, I imagine, means quite a bit.
Fletcher's very delicate with these, and they like go directly into his like little pocket rather than just in the bag of stuff. No offense to Magic Whiteout. Magic Whiteout is also very helpful. After like very carefully placing the cards, Fletcher turns to Neo and says,
"You seem to be really excited."
Neo is almost vibrating in place. Gets close to Fletcher. Okay, close your eyes.
Okay. And closes his eyes.
Takes and unfurls a little kind of like fabric-y package and puts it around Fletcher's neck, clasps it to both shoulders, goes away. Okay, you can open your eyes now and shake your shoulders.
Oh my gosh, this is beautiful!
And the moment Fletcher shakes their shoulders, this kind of like almost transparent greeny fabric kind of like falls out like a little cape that wraps around their body. And you can see that it has dozens and dozens and dozens of little pockets. And it weighs very little. So this is made out of the silk that the spiders at the Marigold of Anino make. So basically each of the pockets will change colors based on what you put in there. So hopefully it helps you keep things organized. And it's really good at keeping smells in. So all of your smelly herb will keep well contained in there. And I'm not sure how it does with water, but if it can keep smells in, it may also be able to keep water out, but we need to see about that.
Oh, this is so helpful. Thank you so much. I don't even know what to say, you guys.
And as the four of you kind of look back and forth at each other, like maybe grinning, also holding back tears, you begin to hear kind of like a sort of like rushing sound as, I guess, Alma, your ears kind of perk up and everybody else's, but you recognize this sound. This is the sound of the maelstrom hitting the ship. And you know that Portsmore is getting closer. And so you, along with everybody else, rush back up to the upper deck of the ship and look out. And you look back towards kind of where you came, as this kind of like water is just like, again, like storming down above you, kind of beating down on the deck of the ship, but also your heads. You look back, you see like the large redwood forest kind of like way off in the distance. You look forward as to where you're going, and you kind of see this sort of like mountainous region coming up, and some of these mountains you notice, and you've kind of seen this before, Alma, and you point it out, but a couple of these mountains are kind of like cocked over onto their side, and you see like these giant metal, like almost like crab legs, kind of like shooting out from their bottoms. And like, again, these like mountains are like over on their side, weird legs coming out. And you just keep going and you keep pointing out these different sites. The forest changes, it's more of like an oak and maple forest. And eventually you get to this place where like all the forests, the trees, everything is like dead. And it's just like this massive stretch of like these little white flecks kind of like sticking up out from the ground. And you point those out to everybody else's, like, you've been told that those are the bones of the people that quote unquote came before. And so you see these like flecks of white mixed in with like bits of metal, and at the center of this like desolate area is this like massive crater where this sort of like black aura kind of like shoots out over this desolate area. And you eventually kind of like pass over that, holding back your emotions. The even everybody else who isn't connected to the dead feels the weight of this sort of like desolate area where a lot of death probably happened. And you pass that, and eventually you kind of get closer to this mountain on the eastern side, your right-hand side. Again, the ocean is still on the western side or your left-hand side, and you see this city kind of like tucked away at the center of like all these like rivers. And one of the things that really sticks out about Portsmore is, again, it's like a massive port city, and they don't have airships here, they don't have boats here, they have these like massive land barges on the backs of these gargantuan beetles, and they're all kind of penned up on the eastern side of Portsmore, where you would see them kind of like moving along the rivers, and they're just kind of penned up there as it seems like the water from these rivers moving from the mountains into Portsmore to the ocean seem to be like massively overrun, and these beetles carrying vital supplies cannot get into Portsmore as you get closer and closer to the capital city, Stormdweller. And as you kind of all take in this scene, like you see, I guess, a lightning strike, and then a few moments later, a very loud crash of thunder as you look at the massive city of Portsmore getting closer, and we fade to black for this episode as you kind of try to figure out what's going on here.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. You can follow QueerPG on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at QueerPGPod. QueerPG is made possible by all of you who listen and share the show. So if you like what you hear, please rate and review. It helps other people find the podcast. You can also support the show by signing up for our Patreon at patreon.com/QueerPG. If you're interested in seeing transcripts for the episodes, all of those from previous episodes and episodes to come can be found on our website, QueerPG.com. Until next time.